Good afternoon, brethren, and happy Sabbath to you all. I've had a little bit of sniffles this week, so kind of bear with me. I've titled my message this afternoon, How Well Is Your Spiritual Fire Burning? How well is your spiritual fire burning? It's a cold winter day. A foot of snow is in the forecast, and there's already several inches on the ground. The wind chill temperature is a bone-chilling negative 10 degrees outside. But no worries. You have a nice stockpile of split wood in the shed and a toasty warm fire burning in the wood stove. This type of heat, in my opinion, can warm you right down to your bones like no other heat can. The wind can blow and the snow can pile up, but the heat from a crackling fire will always keep the cold out. In my house, we have a wood-burning stove as our primary source of heat. It's a bit messy at times, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. A lot of you may have a wood stove in your home, or at least have had some experience with wood heat in the past. Nothing warms me up faster than wood heat, but it takes a good, well-maintained fire. The fire that's been neglected, burned down to a few glowing embers, just won't cut it. Throughout these cold, cloudy, mostly dark days of winter, how has your spiritual fire been burning? Is it well-maintained fire, burning hot? When you get busy doing other things and neglect feeding a physical fire for whatever the reason, it will begin to cool off faster and faster. It may burn down to just a few glowing embers, but not completely gone out, and simply needs another piece of wood. Or maybe there is plenty of wood on the fire, but it just needs to be stirred up, moved around to get it to take off again. This imagery works well for talking about our spiritual fire as well. Have we been neglecting our spiritual fire any this winter? Has your first love grown a little cool? Have things that are going on in your life, such as health problems, financial problems, or not enough time in the day, caused us to neglect the commitment we made to God? Or are we keeping our spiritual fire burning strong by making time for regular Bible study, prayer, meditation, and fasting? Today, I'd like to discuss three points. Three points on the subject of your spiritual fire. Point number one is, don't neglect your fire. Don't neglect your fire. If left alone too long, even the coal base will cease to give heat. Point number two, don't let your fire go out. Don't let your fire go out. And point number three, sometimes you have to rearrange the wood and add fresh oxygen to the fire to keep the flame alive. Again, point number three is sometimes you have to rearrange the wood and add fresh oxygen to the fire to keep the flame alive. So, getting started here in point number one, don't neglect your fire. If left alone too long, even the coal base will cease to give heat. If you would, let's turn to 1 Timothy 4, 1 Timothy 4:13. 1 Timothy 4:13 through 15. 1 Timothy 4:13-15. Here Paul, speaking of the ordained, he warns Timothy to not neglect the gift of grace given to him. Starting in verse 13, till I come again, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. The word translated neglect in verse 14, according to Strong's, means to be careless of or have no regard. To be careless of or have no regard. So in other words, Paul is admonishing us, admonishing Timothy, don't be careless with the gift given to you by God with the laying on of hands. Don't take it for granted or disregard it like an old favorite shirt that you got a year ago and now it's sitting in the back of your closet. Instead, be so involved in doing God's work and living His way of life that your spiritual fire burns nice and hot, not neglected and left unattended. In doing this, your spiritual progress will be evident to others around you. Others will enjoy being around you and may seek your advice about something going on in their life, or they may want to discuss something they are studying. When someone is on fire for God's word, other people want to warm up and catch their passion. Have you ever been doing something outside in the cold where you get so cold that you can't feel your fingers or your toes anymore? I know I have on many occasions, and sooner or later, I'm going to head inside. If there is a warm fire burning, I bet you're going straight to that fire to warm up, drawn to the heat like the proverbial moth to the flame. This world is growing cold. So be the spiritual fire that others actively seek out for comfort and wisdom. I'm sure this is part of the reason God commands us to spend time with one another. Let's read about this in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10:24. Hebrews 10, verse 24 through 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We see here that God knows that we can stir up a passion of faith in one another, which is why we must do everything we can to gather together with fellow believers every Sabbath and to spend time in church activities that are planned out for us. I don't know about you, but I eagerly look forward to the Sabbath and spending time with God's people, especially when I've just taken a Bible-related test from a teacher who likes to put somewhat tricky questions in his test. I like knowing I can come to services and talk about the questions and have some great meaningful discussions relating to the answers. In all my years, I can remember being at church. I've seen more people talking about Scripture and God on the Sabbath these last 3 months than I ever have before. And that's what we need to be doing. And as the Scripture says, as the day of the Lord approaches, we must be doing it even more earnestly. We can't become so busy and worn out from life that we neglect spending time with our spiritual family. Now let's take a look at Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, Hebrews 2, verses 1. Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 3. Paul here is speaking to the Hebrews and is giving them a warning also. Verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Paul starts by warning against spiritual drift, telling us to pay more attention to and be cautious about and apply oneself more to the words of God. God's word is our anchor point. Without our line, all of our lines secured to God's anchor points, like a ship with no anchor lines at port, will drift out to sea. We will slowly drift with the currents of the world and of flesh. We must be anchored solidly to God. God the Father, through Jesus Christ. God's word is a wonderful coal base our fire is built on. Starting again in verse 3, we read, how shall we escape? Escape what, you might ask? Escape the punishment for our sins. Continuing on, if we neglect so great a salvation. Again, neglect here means to disregard or ignore it. We don't want to disregard the invitation to the marriage supper with Christ and lose our salvation because we are busy with our physical lives. Next, I have point number two. Point number two, don't let your fire go out. Don't let your fire go out. Please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5:19. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Paul simply says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. The Greek word for quench here means to extinguish, suppress, stifle, or to go out. It is interesting to note that each of these words implies that an action has to be taken to cause it to happen. Satan cannot quench our spiritual fire, but we can do it to ourselves. By not keeping up on our Bible study and our prayer, fasting, and meditation, we can quench our own spirit, our own fire. I could open up the door of my stove and throw in a 5-gallon bucket of water to put it out. But if I just leave it alone, don't stir it up or add any wood, it will quench itself. Whether quenched by neglect or by deliberate action, the result is the same. The fire will go out. There is a well-known story in the Bible about five foolish people who let their fire go out right when they needed it the most. Let's turn to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 12. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 12, story we most of us should know very, very well. Starting in verse 1, Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom was delayed, they all slept and slumbered. And at midnight, there was a cry heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. A lesson we can learn from this parable is that we are responsible for our own spiritual fire. The wise virgins knew they had to stock up on their fuel in order to make sure their fire would stay lit. They knew the value of having the oil at hand in order to be prepared for whatever delay may occur. And so they weren't ever worried about it going out. Remember, as I said before, whether quenched by neglect or by deliberate action, the result is the same. The fire will go out. And finally, I have point number three. Point number three, sometimes you have to rearrange the wood and add fresh oxygen to the fire to keep the flame alive. Sometimes you have to rearrange the wood and add fresh oxygen to the fire to keep the flame alive. If you've had any experience at all keeping a fire burning well, you know that every so often you have to stir the fire up, rearrange the wood around with a poker stick, and rekindle it. Stirring the logs around or moving the bottom logs around to the top allows the fire to breathe better and to burn hotter. The top logs tend to burn down and smother the ones on the bottom with ash. But by stirring up the logs and lifting them up out of the ashes, this will rekindle the fire, giving it new life and flame. To see this point, if you would, turn with me to 2 Timothy 1, verses 6. 2 Timothy 1, verses 6. Here Paul, speaking to Timothy, again says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now, when I looked up the word in my Bible concordance, which was G329, that was translated stir up, it is also translated to kindle up or inflame one's mind. And I like that. Inflame one's mind with God's Spirit. Keep it kindled, stirred up, and burning hot. The major Bible commentaries agree that Paul is using a metaphor relating to fire. In Gill's exposition of the entire Bible, it states there that there is in the word used a metaphor taken from coals of fire covered with ashes, as if almost extinct and need to be blown up into a flame. In Barnes' commentary, it states, it is not uncommon to compare piety to a flame or a fire, and the image is one that is obvious when we speak of causing that to burn more brightly. The idea is that Timothy was to use all proper means to keep the flame of pure religion in the soul burning, and more particularly his zeal in the great cause to which he had been set apart. However rich the gifts which God was bestowed upon us, they do not grow of their own accord, but need to be cultivated by our own personal care. Finally, Adam Clark's commentary adds, the gift which Timothy had received was the Holy Spirit, and through it, a particular power to preach and defend the truth. This gift is represented here under the notion of a fire, which, if it be not frequently stirred up and fresh fuel added, will go out. This is the precise idea which the apostle had in his mind, hence picking a word which signifies to stir up the fire, to add fresh fuel to it. So, how can we stir up our fires? We already know the best fuel we can give: prayer, Bible study, fasting, and meditation. So give your spiritual fire a fresh fuel it needs. This will keep your fire burning hot, and in your quest for the finest fuel, you may help stir others up whose fire may need some rekindling. Now, when thinking of fine fuel, especially the fine fuel mentioned in the Bible, our minds might quickly think of olive oil and how it is mentioned time and time again, especially in reference to things that are holy to God and anointing. Olive oil is used many times to represent the Spirit of God, and it is easy to see why such representation is appropriate. For instance, oil lubricates in order to prevent friction. Those who are lubricated by the Spirit of God will suffer little wear and tear among each other. Oil heals and has been used throughout history for medicinal treatments. The Spirit of God brings restoration and healing. Oil invigorates when used in massage. The Spirit of God invigorates us to God's service. Oil adorns when used as perfume. The Spirit of God adorns us, and working in us makes us more pleasant to be around. Oil polishes when used to shine metal. The Spirit of God helps wipe away our grime and smooth out our rough edges. Oil lights when used as fuel in a lamp. Where the Spirit of God is, there is light. Oil warms when it's used as fuel. And the Spirit of God brings warmth and comfort to us. These comparisons help show how maintaining a full supply of fine fuel for our spiritual fire benefits our lives in so many other ways, just as God designed it to. This is why it is so important to never let our minds stray from giving attention to God's law and commandments for us through the gospel of Christ Jesus. Let's turn to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3, verses 1 through 2. Second Peter 3, verses 1 through 2. Peter writes, Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Here, when I looked up the word translated stir up, it's a different Greek word than used in 2 Timothy that can also translate to arouse from sleep, arouse the mind, or render active. Arouse from sleep, arouse the mind, or render active. Peter was saying we have to work at keeping our minds active, aroused, or stirred up by the words of God. We have to work at keeping our spiritual fires burning strong. Let's look at another scripture in 2 Peter. Turn back to 2 Peter verses 1. 2 Peter verses 1, 12 through 13. We can see that Peter reminds us of this concept again. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. We have to be constantly reminded of the reason we are here. I get tired and forgetful, just like everyone else in this room and on this earth. But the more we read and hear and talk about the truth of God, the more we remember. God himself admonished the Israelites time and time again to remember all of the things that he had done for them. Speak to one another about them so they would never forget. He reminded them time and time again that he was the one who brought them out of Egypt and out of slavery. Let's read one of these reminders in Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy 5, verse 15. Deuteronomy 5, verse 15. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. You would think that if you were an Israelite during this time and had all these mighty miracles performed before you that were undeniable, as clear as a pillar of fire in front of you, how in the world could they still forget that God was there? They just witnessed the mightiest army of the time completely wiped out by the very sea they had just walked through on dry land, with walls of water on each side, and were fed and watered in the middle of a desert till they were full. And yet they still continued to forget God and what he had done. We must never forget that we too were brought out of slavery of sin by the grace of God. The more we choose to fill our minds with the things of God and what he has working in our lives, the more we stir up our spiritual fires, and the brighter the flame will glow. It's no different than when I adjust the wood in the fire at home, adding the pieces it needs to help keep the flame burning hot. As I conclude, let's ask ourselves again, is our spiritual fire burning strong in the stove of our minds? Or have we neglected the fire and let it to simmer down a bit to a few glowing embers? We must keep it stirred up and kindled during the last few dark, cold, remaining days of winter and leading into Passover season. If we have been neglecting it, maybe letting it smother down a bit, let's grab that poker stick. Stir up Stir the fire up and get it rekindled. Let's fill our lamps with the fine oil God provides that will keep us glowing bright. One great tool to help us in this regard is our spiritual workbooks, and I hope we've all been completing them, which can most definitely assist us in keeping our fires burning bright. If we don't take these things seriously, our spiritual fire may be in danger of becoming extinguished.